so we'll start with class right away. Sadashiv, did he bring the recorder?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, after I speak about that, you can transfer it to this and give it to Sadashiv.
Yeah, I can transfer.
Because he's going to need it right away.
Okay.
So don't start now. Wait until after Jai Radhamada.
So you just give me a signal?
I'll give you a signal. Okay. So we're going to start class. And this morning we're going to speak first about the opening of the temple, the events that went before the opening, because I have to record something for Sadashiva to put on the radio. So that's going to go first. It's going to go on today's radio program. And then after that we'll speak about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we'll start by chanting Jai Radha Madhava, which incidentally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the one who wrote. That's his poem, Jai Radha Madhava. And he had deities that were called Radha Madhava deities. And some of us, including myself, got a chance to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's deities. They were kept near the Bhuvaneshwara temple in Orissa. Very beautiful deities of Radha Madhava. The pictures of them are on the internet, too. Okay, so let's chant Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Thank you. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravatarya Holstutera Satishi Shimas, His Divine Grace of Ayachananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Vijaya Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Vijaya Ananda Goti Vaishnav Vrindi Gajaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Vijaya Prem Se Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadatha Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Gajaya Sri Sri Radhakrishna Govinda Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gajaya Vrindavan Gajaya Maturam Gajaya Navadiptam Gajaya Jagadavasani Gajaya Yamunamai Gajaya Srimati Lasi Devi Gajaya Simrita Bhakta Vrindi Gajaya Gaur Vrindavan Hari Hari Bo All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go, Prangananda, Hari Hari Go. So, you can put the recorder out now, so, not you, him. Because we have to record this for the radio. So the first portion of the class is going to be talking about the opening of the Suva Temple for the radio program, and he'll take that away and transfer it right away.
Yeah, okay. So you start.
Start. Okay. So Om Aganat Sumadanda Shah Gananjana Shadakaya Chakshur and Miritam Gena Tosmai Shigurve Namaha. So practically speaking, this temple was begun millions of years ago. It may come as a surprise to all of you. When Lord Brahma got instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Brahma performed austerities for 100 celestial years, and he had gotten the instruction from the Lord, Tapa, to perform these austerities, and at the end of that, he was able to perceive the transcendental realm of Goloka, and he wrote this famous poem that we're familiar with, which is called the Brahma Sanghita. And then he taught this knowledge to Narada, his son and disciple. Narada taught it to Vyasa. Of course, Vyasa is the compiler of the Vedic literatures, which deal with Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, that is, understanding the truth about the soul and God in the material world, and then Abhideya, what to do about it, Sadhana Bhakti, and then finally Prayojana, what is the goal of human life. And through the ages, that knowledge was passed down through disciplic succession, as described in the Gita, evam parampara praptam, and eventually it reached a devotee named Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructed his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who had taken initiation from Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed his spiritual son, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So it is not simply theoretical knowledge that is passed down, but realized knowledge and the ability to implant the Bhakti Lata Vija in someone's heart. Bhakti Lata Vija means the seed of the creeper of devotion. There's this interesting verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ramanda Brahmate Konna Vagyuan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Vija, which is that the soul is wandering throughout these material universes, and by the mercy of Krishna, he comes in contact with a pure devotee who gives him this bhakti lata bij through transcendental sound vibration. So just like we see Prabhupada got this transcendental instruction from his guru, which was to preach in the Western world. And similarly in Fiji, we have Vasudeva Prabhu, who got the instruction from his guru, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, in a very brief encounter in an airport. Of course, that was the Nandi Airport. And Srila Prabhupada was passing through in the transit lounge, and Vasudeva was able to go into that transit lounge and speak to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's words were something like, are there any Radha Krishna temples here in Fiji? And Vasudeva Prabhu said, no. And Prabhupada said, then make one. So simply on that one encounter, based on that one encounter, because Prabhupada later on visited Fiji, but based upon that one encounter, the Krishna consciousness movement has grown dramatically here in Fiji, and now we have perhaps tens of thousands of followers all over, every major city and even every town and village. The holy name of Krishna is being chanted. So after Vasudeva got that instruction, he worked tirelessly with his brother and his brother's wife and his wife, Bhagavati and Nandarani, to establish the Krishna Kaliya temple in Lotoka, which is the first Radha Krishna temple in Fiji, in the Fiji Islands. And then His Divine Grace Tamal Krishna Maharaj came at the instruction of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada to the Fiji Islands. And Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj wanted to expand the movement even more dramatically. So he asked Vasudeva Prabhu to move to Suva. And Vasudeva, having faith in Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's representatives, moved to Suva. And gradually, the congregation here increased. I mean, we had our temple in 7 Miles and other places. And people started flocking to the Krishna conscious movement, even before there was installed deities or a temple, because the potency of the instruction of the spiritual master and the potency of the holy names is enough to effect a change in the hearts of everyone. As it's said in the Bhagavatam, Tadvad Visargo Janataka Vipurvo Yajmin Pratishlokam Avadavachupi Namananang Tasha Yasho Nikatani Yatshunvanti Gayanti Grinanti Yat Sadavaha. That this transcendental sound, especially Bhagavatam and the holy names, is enough to affect a revolution. That is a spiritual revolution, not material or political, but a revolution in the hearts of a misdirected, impious civilization. So we had many, many people joining, and the amount of people joining was so much that it was necessary to have a temple here in Suva. So Vasudeva Prabhu very, very kindly arranged for this land that we're at right now in Tura, and he arranged for ISKCON to have this land. I think it's about an acre or two of land. And to start the clearing of the property, first they had to add some dirt and sort of flatten the property out. And then eventually start to construct a temple. So then His Grace Parashuram Prabhu came, and he took responsibility, working tirelessly over many, many years, working with the architects and engineers and whoever else was involved in the construction, to come up with the plans, start the construction, and actually complete the construction of this temple. So when the temple was nearing construction, the devotees moved to the property here, and we brought devotees from all over the world. That is the United States, India, we had people from Italy with the marble, all with the idea of opening this temple for Radha Goloka Bihari. So the devotees worked day and night. Of course, I was their humble servant during that particular time. Worked day and night painting the domes with the gold leaf, painting the deities, cleaning the temple, installing different aspects of the temple, and it was a major endeavor. But because it was being done for the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the instructions of Krishna's pure devotees, fulfilling the desire of Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj and His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual potency took over. And people were able to basically renounce almost eating and sleeping to carry out this mission of establishing the temple for the betterment of the city of Suva and of Fiji in general. Because these temples are established not just for the devotees, because devotees appreciate temples, but devotees could just take shelter of the holy names, they could go to Vrindavan. But the reason we're living in a city like Suva is to give mercy to everybody in Suva. What is that mercy? The mercy is to give people the understanding that they are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, that they have an eternal, blissful life, which is completely or diametrically opposed to the experiences which we're having in this world, which are of temporary nature, misery, and of ignorance. And that spiritual life can be easily attained by following the process of bhakti given to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and very nicely conveyed by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So we invite everybody to visit the temple and take darshan of Shishi Radhagalok Bihari, Shishi Gauranatai, and Sitaram, Lakshman, and ultimately to chant the holy names, and by this chanting, the heart becomes cleansed and one reaches and realizes spiritual bliss and a spiritual destination. At the end of this life, goes back to home, back to Krishna. Okay, that's enough. Is that all right? That's the radio program. Now we'll get down to being here with all of you. So, Om Ganat Sumadanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshura Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Maha. So you can transfer it to this USB stick, and you can take that with you. Yeah, take that with me, and bring it, give it to me sometime later today. Okay, so today is a very important day in the Vaishnava calendar, in addition to being the commemoration of the opening of ISKCON Suva, the Radhagalok Bihari Temple. Most important is it's the appearance day of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. So Bhaktivinod Thakur, a few general words about Bhaktivinod Thakur before we speak specifically about his life and pastimes, is Bhaktivinod Thakur is sometimes called the seventh Goswami, which is interesting. And actually there's a book which we have called The Seventh Goswami. I've been reading this the last few days preparing for this day. And the reason he's called The Seventh Goswami is that, first of all, he was a householder. And he had 10 children and 2 wives, one at a time. Of course, his first wife died after the first child was born. So why do we say that he is a Goswami? Well, let's understand the meaning of this word, Goswami. Go means senses, and Swami means master. So someone who is able to master the senses is, in every sense, a Goswami. Or he's also a Brahmachari. Prabhupada even called the Grahasthas in our movement Brahmachari Grahasthas. That means Brahmachari means achar, we have this word achar, Brahman. They're always acting for Brahman. Prabhupada even said someone who works in the factory and is giving the results to Krishna, he's as good as a sannyasi, as Brahmachari. So our principle in Kali Yuga is Yukta Vairagya. Yukta Vairagya means basically to leave no stone untouched in the service of the Lord. Like Prabhupada would use everything. Prabhupada would use, of course we didn't have computers at that time, but Prabhupada would use microphones, recorders, he would get in an airplane, he got in the car. I mean, so many things that were unheard of for sannyasis generally, because generally the sannyasis were understood just as nyasis, not as sannyasis. Nyasi means to renounce, sun means to accept, like we have our sankirtan, which means to accept or congregationally chant the holy names. So that's Yukta Vairagya. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was perfect in his execution of Yukta Vairagya. He was a Supreme Court magistrate. He preached to people from the bench. He was so efficient. He was able to accomplish a day's work in 2 or 3 hours. He gave up basically eating and very little eating, maybe a chapati or a few rotis a day and a little bit of milk, a little bit of fruit, and almost gave up sleeping in order to write his transcendental literature. So that's why we call Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a Goswami. However, if we examine the early life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur before he manifested his devotional aspect, one may get confused, because you see, in his early life, he didn't always exhibit Krishna consciousness, at least externally he didn't exhibit Krishna consciousness. I mean, for a while he manifested that he was very much absorbed even in Christianity. And he became a fan of some of the Western writers like Emerson and Thoreau and other famous personalities. However, this we can understand by understanding the principle of yoga maya. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, we have Arjuna, who is apparently not thinking of Krishna, or he's in a fearful condition, or he's hesitating to act on the order of Krishna. But this is yoga maya, so that particular pastimes can be exhibited, so the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. In the same way with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was always under the influence of yoga maya, which means that he was always Krishna conscious, but externally something else was being exhibited for our benefit to see how one can take to Krishna consciousness, or how Krishna consciousness is superior to all other philosophical and practical understandings. So, like we find Bhaktivinoda Thakur very educated, understood the Muslim religion, the Christian religion. He spoke so many languages. He spoke Persian, Urdu, English, Orissan, Bengali, and Latin. And so he was a very educated person. So therefore, when we hear about his history, we take it very, very seriously. Here was someone who was actually not externally accepting Krishna consciousness, but then he understood the superiority of Krishna consciousness when he finally got a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I mean, this was his aspiration for many years, to get that Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that convinced him, you know, at least externally, pastime-wise, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission was the topmost spiritual mission. So we shouldn't get confused by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's early pastimes. It said, actually, when you're doing a biography of a Vaishnava, you don't really mention so many pastimes that may give people the misunderstanding that he wasn't Krishna conscious. The devotees advised Sasrupa Maharaj when he was writing the Leelamrita, you know, just deal with the pastimes of Prabhupada as a great pure devotee. Although Prabhupada was always a pure devotee, Prabhupada said there was never a time when he forgot Krishna. So it's important to understand the lives of great personalities. I mean, like Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family. And so you don't really dwell with what happened in that Muslim family before he became Krishna conscious, or what Bhaktivinoda Thakur ate before he became Krishna conscious. But you find envious people who criticize on that basis. And of course they criticize devotees in the movement. And Prabhupada called that the naked mother philosophy. The naked mother philosophy means that your mother, when she was born, she was naked, right? I think everybody was. So you don't criticize someone for being born naked. You understand the point? You don't criticize them because everybody was born naked. So you don't criticize someone for the past. In fact, it's stated by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that one of the main ways that you can commit Vaishnava Aparad is to criticize someone for their past, or criticize someone for even present reactions to past sinful activities. Or even, let's say, accidental deviation from Krishna consciousness. One has to be very careful with Vaishnavas. I mean, I've personally seen that when you offend a Vaishnava, then you get a reaction and you lose your taste for Krishna consciousness. I mean, I had one instance myself, like I was joking with some Vaishnava who had some back problem, and I just like imitated them. And then 1 hour later, I had severe back pain. So you have to take it seriously. And this is just a humble devotee who wasn't even my godbrother or godsister, but someone second generation, humble, nice devotee. And I said, oh my God. Then I had to go up to that disciple of my godbrother and beg forgiveness. Then the back pain went away. So you got to be real careful. So with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you have to be real careful. So, let's see, it's hard to talk about the whole history of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so we're going to mention some memorable events. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was educated as a Supreme Court magistrate, and actually I'd like to mention his schedule, so you get an idea of his dedication. And this schedule was noted down by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son, Lalit Prasad Thakur. So he would, every day, he was very regulated. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, incidentally, would always carry a pocket watch, not a wristwatch. In those days, they didn't have wristwatches. And nowadays, we have wristwatches. And Prabhupada also would always wear his watch. Sometimes I see devotees, they don't wear watches. I'm not going to ask you who here is not wearing a watch. But it means, anyway, I don't want to criticize Vaishnavas, but it means, I got to be careful. Anyway, you should wear a watch, okay? I wasn't going to say something critical, but I got to be careful. So we should always wear a watch, because why? Because time belongs to Krishna. And as the Bhagavatam says, you cannot get back 1 second. You can't turn back the clock. There's no time machine. You can make yourself young again. You could go back in the past. There's nothing like that. So with every moment, with every rising and setting of the sun, a day is lost. With every breath you take, you're getting closer to death. So remember that. So every moment is very important. That's one of the qualities of a pure devotee, in fact. Never wastes a moment in Krishna's service. So he had a watch, and he was very, very punctual. So it's described between 7:30 and 8 o'clock p.m. he would go to bed. But not like us. He would rise at 10 p.m. In other words, 2 hours. And then he would write books. Like Srila Prabhupada followed a similar schedule, maybe not as little rest as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but Prabhupada would get up like at 12 o'clock and he would write his literatures. So he would get up and write books until 4 o'clock in the morning. Then he'd take what we call a nap for a half an hour. At 4:30, he would wash his hands and face and start his chanting. And it's described, he would never show his beads to anyone. He would always keep the beads in the bead bag, and he would chant on them constantly. I also observed that when I was with His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When Srila Prabhupada was at a television interview, Prabhupada kept chanting Hare Krishna on his beads, and the interviewer was talking to him, and Prabhupada just answered perfectly. But Prabhupada the whole time was going Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So, and then at 7 a.m., Bhaktivinoda Thakur answered all of his letters. At 7:30, in half an hour is very efficient, he read religious literatures. At 8:30, he received visitors, and then he continued to read or receive the visitors till 9:30. Then he would take rest for 15 minutes between 9:30 and 9:45, take a bath, take breakfast, and breakfast was some milk, 2 rotis and a little bit of fruit, and that was it. No khichdi, no sweets, like all of you enjoy every day. Then at 9:55, he would go in a carriage to court, and it's described that he wore Western clothes. He wore, of course, the standard dress of a magistrate, which means a wig and whatever else they would dress like, and he wore a Western coat and pants. And then, but he would always keep on his neck 6 strands of tulsi beads, really big tulsi beads. It's described he was so resolute in his court decisions, immediately he would reach a decision, and he wouldn't tolerate any, what we call humbug. You know what humbug is? Nonsense. He wouldn't tolerate any nonsense. And then he finished his business, left the court. He shaved his head monthly and never cared what anyone thought about it. He didn't care what people thought. And he preached to everybody, too. I mean, even it's described in his biography I was reading yesterday and last night, how even the Englishmen, because India was a captive country at that time, even the Englishmen loved him. They actually wanted to have him in their area, and they made friendship with him. They heard about Lord Chaitanya from him. And it's described about the great devotees. Srinivasacharya describes, Dira Dira Janapriyo Priyakado, that the great devotees of the Lord are dear, that is, they're very much loved by those who are adira and dira, by those who are self-controlled, and those who are not. In other words, the great devotees are loved by everybody. Or as Prabhupada said when he was asked, what are the qualities of a disciple of his? He said, he is a perfect gentleman or a perfect lady. So in other words, we have to exhibit that when we go out to meet people, that people should love us. And not just because, we look good or something like that, that we should love us because we're representing Krishna and we have compassion. And that's really what attracted me to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada loved me and loves me in the present and in the past and in the future. So Prabhupada, I felt, had this unconditional love, and that convinced me to join the Hare Krishna movement. The devotees before were rather unsuccessful in convincing me to join the movement because they were preaching heavy to me and telling me I was a demon. And I didn't like to hear that I was a demon. But Prabhupada, he didn't tell me I was a demon, even though I was. So Prabhupada just had so much compassion. The first time I interacted with him, I said, here is someone who loves me. And all I could do was think, how can I reciprocate that compassion, that love? And I've dedicated my whole life to reciprocating that compassion and love. And a gift Prabhupada has given us. I mean, none of us would be sitting here today if Prabhupada hadn't come and taken the austerity of coming to the Western world and to Fiji, too. None of us would be here. We'd be somewhere else. I mean, maybe we'd be dead right now in another body or an animal body. I mean, even most of you in Fiji were eating meat before. I mean, not every one of you. Some of you, like Vishwanatha, born in a devotee family, always pure. But the rest of us, I mean, God knows where we'd be. So the court began at 10 a.m., as I mentioned before, and he finished 50 cases by 1 p.m. 50 cases. You can divide the time up, 10, 11, 12, 1, 3 hours, 50 cases. How much is that for each case? Roughly 16, 17 minutes. 16 or 17 minutes per case. That's pretty good. And he took 5 minutes to decide the case. This is how he did it. 2 minutes to write the judgment in detail. And some of his British superiors were very much envious of him. And at 1 o'clock, he went home, refreshed himself, and then went back to work from 2 to 5. And then in the evening, as I said before, he would translate Sanskrit religious works or write his own works in Bengali. So, some of the famous stories about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, we're going to tell right now. And, of course, one of the most famous and that's important for us is the birth of Bimal Prasad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was posted in Jagannath Puri as the magistrate. And he was also given the duty to supervise the temple of Lord Jagannath. He would regularly go every day to see Lord Jagannath, take darshan of Lord Jagannath, and visit all the holy places, Haridas Thakur's Samadhi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this famous poem at Haridas Thakur's Samadhi. He reasons ill, says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. So he resided quite a bit of time in Jagannath Puri, and he was given the duty of making sure the deity worship was going on nicely. So he regulated the deity worship to extreme punctuality. Previously, the Pujaris in Jagannath Puri, they were more spontaneous. In other words, they would make an offering. They didn't worry about what time it was or anything like that. They weren't following the Vidhi or the Vaidhi Bhakti. And in fact, previously, Shripad Ramanujacharya had tried to rectify them, but Lord Jagannath sort of kicked him out of Puri. It's interesting. Ramanujacharya came there and he saw the lack of regulation in the deity worship. And then Lord Jagannath got upset because Lord Jagannath at that time liked the lack of regulation because these devotees were more spontaneous. And then Ramanujacharya just closed his eyes and he woke up in Kurukshetra because Lord Jagannath kicked him out. And then he understood Lord Jagannath didn't want him interfering with the deity worship. Whereas with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur regulated the deity worship, made them use a clock and a pocket watch to regulate the deity worship. And he also made sure that nobody was stealing from the hundi. Because at that time, the king of Puri was taking all the money from the hundi. He was taking tens of thousands of rupees and using it for himself. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered that, and what did he do? He took the king to court. He was so bold. And the king was forced to make 52 offerings to Lord Jagannath a day and pay for himself. So the king's treasury became very much depleted because of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's judgment. And the king got very upset with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He thought, I have to kill him. But I can't kill him directly because he's very popular, everyone loves him. So the king thought, well, let's kill him by performing a sacrifice. So they called for 50 Brahmins, I guess tantric Brahmins, because normal Brahmins wouldn't do that. So he called for 50 tantric Brahmins in his palace and they performed this sacrifice to last a month to kill Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And they were saying, I don't know what the mantra was, you know, Mitchu, Swaha. There's some mantra. I have no idea what the mantra was. And at the end of that month, instead of Bhaktivinoda Thakur dying, the king's only son died. So Krishna was continually protecting Bhaktivinoda Thakur in that way. And then it was understood that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a great personality. So other stories about his pastimes. Also I was talking about the appearance of Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, Bimal Prasad. So that Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur appeared in Jagannath Puri, and he appeared on the grand road, the main road in Jagannath Puri, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house was overlooking this road. This is the road where the Jagannath car passes during the Rath Yatra. So after his appearance, it came time for the grain ceremony. And what happened was also the same time as the Rath Yatra ceremony of Lord Jagannath, and the cart of Lord Jagannath stopped and couldn't be moved in front of the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is reminiscent of when Lord Jagannath's cart couldn't be moved when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, and even the king employed horses and elephants to try to move the cart, and the cart wouldn't move. And finally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself put his head to the back of the cart and pushed the cart, and the cart moved. So in the same way, in a similar fashion, the cart was stuck in front of the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur previously prayed for a son who would be a ray of Vishnu. And of course, that's the name of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's biography, A Ray of Vishnu. So what happened is that he brought out Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at that time, who was Bimal Prasad, put him on the cart, and immediately Lord Jagannath's garland fell on around him. And then he fed him the grains, and then the cart started to move. Amazing story. So other stories about Jagannath Puri, see what else happened in Jaya Nupur. Oh yeah, there was a deviant Babaji named Charanandas Babaji, who came up with this mantra, Nittai Gaur Radhe Shyam Hare Krishna Hare Ram, which people are still chanting nowadays in Vrindavan, right behind our temple. There's devotees or people who chant that. And it's Rasabhas, it's not the proper mantra, because you have to receive your mantra through disciplic succession. So what happened is Bhaktivinoda Thakur challenged him, and this Radhacharan basically got, this Charan, there's another one named Radhacharan, got very, very sick and eventually apologized to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but he continued his nonsense, and then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur tried to preach against him, and there he caused a riot in Jagannath Puri. Because this bogus rascal, he had so many followers. You cannot judge the truthfulness of a society by how many followers it has. You can judge the truthfulness, the spiritual potency of a society by how its followers are becoming purified. Palena kata chiyate. In other words, don't look at numbers, look at quality. Like at one particular point, Prabhupada said to us, you don't need to make so many new devotees, you should purify the devotees we already have. In other words, Prabhupada used the example, boiling the milk. So it's important to do that. We shouldn't be enthusiastic to make so many cheap followers or to get people initiated just because, you know, we want to increase the numbers. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that he wanted one disciple like a moon rather than many, many twinkling little stars. Because the stars don't give you any illumination. When it's the new moon, the stars are there, but it's still very dark. But when it's the full moon, which is, I guess, coming up soon, then it's very light. And so that's what we want. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur stated that, and Srila Prabhupada, of course, was that full moon. Was the moon of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So anyway, we should be interested in quality rather than quantity, because as we see, Prabhupada was able to spread, one person was able to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Another time there was another Babaji named Radhacharan Das Babaji, and he offended Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because in the beginning Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't wear neck beads. And the reason he didn't wear neck beads or even put on tilak was because he had not taken initiation. That was the system at that time, that you wouldn't wear this the Vaishnava apparel like that unless you had actually taken initiation. So this Radhacharan Das Babaji criticized Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He got cholera and almost died, and then he apologized to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur forgave him. Another story of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's spiritual potency is the story of this bogus yogi, Vishikishena. And Vishikishena was a very interesting personality. He proclaimed himself to be Mahavishnu. And he said his friend was Brahma. It was very interesting. And he had another friend named Lord Shiva. So he was Mahavishnu. I am Mahavishnu. Here's Lord Shiva, here's Lord Brahma. And he was basically having a lot of illicit sex life. As Mahavishnu, he was thinking he could dance the rasa dance, but actually Mahavishnu never dances the rasa dance. He got his philosophy wrong. Not only was he not Mahavishnu, but Mahavishnu never dances rasa dance. Mahavishnu is just Lakshmi, that's it. And of course, Lakshmi's expansions. And only Krishna in Vrindavan dances the rasa dance. I mean, sometimes we mix. And some of these films from India, they mix. They show Krishna and Dwarka playing a flute. Krishna and Dwarka doesn't play a flute. Krishna only in Vrindavan plays a flute. Krishna only in Vrindavan has these girlfriends with the Parakiya Ras. So, this Vishikashena, he was polluting people. He was attracting the women, and he had mystic powers. He could have flames coming out of his head. He cured people when they were sick. Just like you see nowadays, they have this faith healing. You ever heard of that before? People come to Fiji And they say, come forward, throw away your crutches, dance, chant Hare Krishna. No, they don't say Hare Krishna. But dance, and then people follow them and give them all their money. It's a big scam, started in America. So he was doing the same thing, he had mystic powers. And also, what really aggravated the British government was that he was saying, we're going to kick the British out of India, and I'm going to be the king. So the British didn't mind him being God. There was no problem for them, because there's no law against being God in India. So, and the British didn't mind him dancing with all these girls or whatever he was doing at night. But the British didn't want him fomenting a revolution. So therefore, they asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur to interfere. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's real motive was to stop this rascal from polluting Vaishnava Dharma. Actually, he was a member of this sect called the Atibari sect. There's many deviant Vaishnav sects which Bhaktivinoda Thakur analyzed. Some of the sects, the men with dresses, women, you know, you'd have some really ugly woman there with a beard. So, and there's halls and balls and katibhajas and adibara, all these different types of deviant Vaishnava sects. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur really wanted to cut this out of being Lord Chaitanya's representative. So nobody wanted to capture this Vishikashena because he had these powers. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he went to where Vishikashena was, and Vishikashena had so many mystic powers, he knew who Bhaktivinoda Thakur was. He says, oh, Kedaranath Babu, which was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's name, legal name. Kedaranath, of course, is the name of Lord Shiva. And he said, oh, I know you've come here. You're my great devotee. Because he said he was God, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a devotee of Krishna. He said, oh, thank you for coming, my great devotee. You can sit here and worship me along with everybody else. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you know, I've come to take you to Jagannath Puri, where you can see the real God, Lord Jagannath. And then this Vishikashena said the most offensive thing. He said, Jagannath is just wood. I am God. And that really got Bhaktivinoda Thakur angry. So later on that day in the evening, he arrived with so many soldiers and they imprisoned this Vishikashena. And they put him in jail. And they started his trial. They took him back to Puri and they started his trial. And during the trial, he was manifesting different mystic powers. One mystic power he manifested was that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's daughter, Padambani, got extremely sick. She was dying, I think it was during the third or fourth day of the trial. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife, Bhagavati, which is his name of his second wife, was praying to her husband, you know, stop this trial. We're all going to die because of him. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, let us all die. But we have to stop this irreligious practice. So he's so determined. And even the last day of the trial, Bhaktivinoda Thakur got extremely sick. And basically, they had to carry him on a palanquin to the courthouse. He was so sick with a high fever. And he passed judgment and sentenced this gentleman, or god, or whatever he was, to prison. Now, right after he sentenced this person, Vishikashena, to prison, one of the Englishmen jumped up and he understood. He had been reading some books about yoga. He understood that the yogis generally kept their power in their hair. So he cut the hair off of this Vishikashena, and Vishikashena immediately fell down completely helpless, couldn't move, lost all of his power, and within a month or two later he committed suicide. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very strict in upholding these religious principles. Another interesting story was in another village called Champorana, people were worshipping a ghost. And this ghost actually was inhabiting the consciousness of the zamindar, the person in charge of the landholder in the village, and he was acting very cruelly because the ghost was actually affecting his actions. This is interesting too, because a ghost can enter one if one eats impure food. Did you know that? That's why Dronacharya and Kripacharya and Grandfather Bhishma were actually affected by the demoniac tendencies because they had eaten food in the kitchen of Duryodhana. Prabhupada comments on that. It's an extremely important point. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just one other thing before I tell the story. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was chanting Hare Krishna even when he was a little boy, even before he externally accepted Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The reason he was chanting Hare Krishna all the time was that he heard from someone when he was young that if you chant Hare Krishna, the ghost can't affect you. And he had some fear of ghosts. He never wanted to go, when he was a little boy, he never wanted to go out at night because he heard all these ghost stories. And as soon as he heard about the holy names, he was chanting 24 hours a day, basically, Krishna's names. Because wherever Krishna's names are chanted, then ghosts, evil spirits, and witches can't remain. They fly far away. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very absorbed. So what he did is in this village where the ghost was being worshipped, he asked for a father of a very famous girl scholar to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam under the tree, because the ghost was residing in the tree. And so for 1 month, this scholar, the father of the girl scholar, was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, and at the end of the month, the tree came crashing to the ground. And the dacoits were very upset, because this ghost was like their friend. Help them in their dacoitry. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur destroyed their irreligiosity all over. And of course, practically speaking, one of the most important things in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's pastimes is the writing of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Some of the books he wrote, of course, there's the Harinam Chintamani, books about the holy, many books about the holy name. Poems like Gita Mala, Sharanagati, another book named Nama Bhajan. I mean, it's unlimited, practically speaking, the books that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. I was looking for a list of some of the books. Oh, here's the list. This is a list. I mean, it's actually many, many pages. I mean, I don't even have time to read all the books, the names of the books that Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. I mean, I'm still going through the pages. You got from page 304 in this book to 300 and, I'm not finished yet. Oh my God. 300 and 40. That many pages of the different books written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And on each page, there's something like 10 books listed. So you can figure out 340, that's 36 pages. 36 times 10 is 360 literatures Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote. And not only that, he wrote poetry, commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita, commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam, commentaries on a book called the Chaitanya Upanishad, which he actually discovered. Chaitanya Upanishad, which verifies the authenticity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Books like the Tattva Viveka, which are discussions about the Absolute Truth. Jiva Dharma, which is an amazing book. I don't know if any of you read, I read the Jiva Dharma. I'm actually giving a course on the Jiva Dharma. It's a very large book that details the different rasas in the spiritual world, the spiritual progress, detachment from the spiritual world, and it's all told in the form of a story. Has anyone here read Jiva Dharma? If anyone's interested, I have e-copies of that book. If they're interested in reading, also I have an audio book of the Jiva Dharma. Amazing book. I mean, it teaches you really how to reach the highest pinnacle in devotional service. Entering into the rasa, Radha and Krishna. Anyway, so I'm just reading some of the names of different books, and I'm basically not coming to an end. At the end of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's pastimes, he took sannyas. He You see, he took sannyas in 1908. He appeared in 1838. Actually, he got married at a very young age. He was 12 years old when he got married. Of course, he didn't live with his wife until they were mature. So in 1908, he took the renounced order of life, and in that order of life, this is just right before he passed away, because he passed away in 1914. In that renounced order of life, he made believe he was sick, so that he would just absorb himself in something called Nirjana Bhajan. Nirjana means no people, or without people. So he locked himself up in his house in Godrumdweep, which is right across from the river, the Jalangi River, from our Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir, and chanted the holy names and left this world in 1940. Also, just one or two more points about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it would be nice if you could read this book. I also have this as an e-book. If anyone's interested, you can email me. I can send it to you. Also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered the appearance place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Previously, the devotees were stating that Lord Chaitanya appeared on the other side of the Ganges, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur embarked upon a very elaborate study of the text, very old text, archaeological study of the old text, to try to ascertain where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance was. And one day he was sitting in his room in the Dhammashala in Navadvip, not in Godrumdweep, he was in Navadvip, and he looked out and he was able to see a bright light coming from where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance place is. The next day he went there and discovered a mound of tulsi trees. And to corroborate, in other words, to verify that that was Lord Chaitanya's appearance place, he brought his spiritual master, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, in spite of being 125 years old and being carried around in a basket, jumped out of the basket and started jumping in ecstasy and said, "This is the place of our Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So also, I mentioned Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj as his spiritual master, but Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Siksha Guru, which is interesting. And his Siksha Guru was Vipini Bihari Goswami. And Vipini Bihari Goswami was like a caste guru. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I wouldn't say he rejected his Siksha Guru, he never did that. But he had a lot of differences with his Siksha Guru. And one of them was the Diksha Guru said that Lord Chaitanya's appearance place was in Navadvip. So he had a lot of differences. Also the point that Vaishnavas have to be Brahmins to be gurus. He differed with him on that. So there was some separation between his Diksha Guru and himself. But ultimately he taught us that the connection with the Siksha Guru, as our connection is with Srila Prabhupada, is most important. And of course, Diksha, primarily, usually the Diksha is also Siksha Guru. But in our disciplic succession, a Siksha Sampradaya is actually considered as essential. For example, you have the connection between Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baladeva Vijayabhushana, and there's no Diksha connection, it's a Siksha connection. You look at the list in the Bhagavad Gita. So instructions are most important. Just by getting Diksha, let's explain what Diksha is. Diksha is an opportunity, it's initiation to advance. But in order to advance, you have to hear. In order to hear properly, you have to follow, to do what you've heard. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur showed us in his pastimes that the connection was with Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And then a similar thing happened in the connection between Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not give initiation to Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, but he was the preceptor or instructor for Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who did give initiation to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who gave initiation to our divine spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, so today we're remembering Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Yukta Vairagya of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted that we were going to be here in Fiji. Not exactly, he said, over that day, when all the Vaishnavas from all around the world, the Germans, the Russians, the Americans, will all chant Jai Satchinandan. He didn't say Fiji. I guess, whatever, for whatever reason, he didn't mention Fiji. But in any case, his prediction was the Vaishnavas would form a United Nations of the spiritual world. And he predicted that there will be a great devotee, and Lord Chaitanya called that great devotee Senapati, a general, a conquering general, who would come and spread the holy name everywhere. And because of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prediction, that holy name was spread everywhere by his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. And also he predicted the temple of the Vedic planetarium. So there would be an Adbhut Mandir. Adbhut means wonderful, something wonderful, amazing, Mandir. And that's the temple of the Vedic planetarium, which is being constructed now by the followers of his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. I was with Srila Prabhupada when he laid the cornerstone for the temple of the Vedic planetarium. That temple of the Vedic planetarium will attract the attention of the whole world to Lord Chaitanya's movement and to Srila Prabhupada. So, I guess that's all we have time for today. I mean, there's books, there's volumes of information about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, marriage, studies, his writing, his acceptance of the Babaji order, and even there's some quotes from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's works, which we don't have time to talk about. So any questions or comments on this auspicious day? Because we have a program coming up in the midday. Actually, beginning at 10, there's going to be remembrances of the temple opening. It's one of the most, let's say, wonderful times of my Krishna consciousness was assisting you all in opening the temple here. I just remember being on the altar with many of these devotees, Parshuram Prabhu, myself, Jivanath, Vasudev, Bhagavati. I'm sure I'm leaving a lot of people out. Of course, other devotees, it's too numerous to mention, Jairam, and just installing the deities, you know, bathing the deities, going through this 3-day ceremony of installing Radhagalok Bihari. And we had the ladies on the right-hand side installing Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. It was actually a first in ISKCON. Usually, in most of the installations, the men say it's a priyas, a lot on the altar. But I made the point, and of course, so the ladies were there on the right altar, and I made the point that the ladies should also be here, because they're also devotees. And, you know, Radhika Prem was heading up the team on the right-hand altar, and they did a beautiful job of installing Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. So I have many wonderful memories of that. One of the most wonderful times of my Krishna consciousness. So, if there's no questions, or are there any questions or comments? And, of course, we want to thank Vasudeva Prabhu for all of his hard work. And we're here because of that, and Vasudeva and Parshuram, some of the leaders of the Yatra, for their hard work. I mean, I just come here and enjoy. I don't work hard, I just come here, eat a lot of prasadam, and enjoy the fruits of everyone else's hard work. So, no questions or comments, arguments, problems, issues, otherwise the program begins at 10. I think there's breakfast, right? It's not a fast day. Yesterday, if we were going to fast for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the fasting should have been yesterday. Because when you have an appearance day, on the day after Ekadasi, you actually do the fasting on Ekadasi, because you're not supposed to fast on the day after Ekadasi. You're supposed to break the fast. What's the time for breaking the fast today? 6 to 10? So everybody make sure you take some grains before 10 o'clock this morning, and that's breaking the Ekadasi fast. All right. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premananda.